invite your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. This sixth verse is the final verse in a paragraph in which our Lord deals with judgment. It is in the third and final chapter of His Sermon on the Mount. And He begins the paragraph by saying the famous judge not phrase, judge not that you be not judged. He is not saying that all judgment is wrong. Very soon after saying this, He says, does He not, that you shall know certain people by their fruits. You have to be able to judge fruit. Our Lord is saying that be careful in judging others, because you'll be judged by the same standard by which you judge others. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, he says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. And having said that, he's describing to us the manner in which we should judge our brethren, and how we should expect ourselves to be judged. But then he moves from judgment of brethren to judgment of others. And that is what we're dealing with this morning. Having described in verses 1 through 5 how you should deal with your brethren in judgment, he then moves to others, whom he calls dogs and swine. So we're dealing with two different kinds of people. On the one hand, brethren, in verses 1 through 5, and here in verse number 6, our Lord says these words, do not give what is holy to the dogs. He's no longer talking about brethren. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. This morning, we're going to look at the sixth verse regarding pearls and holy things. Our Lord, in this sixth verse, is telling us, His children, that we should withhold our judgment and reproof and even the gospel from those who are incorrigible, those who are beyond reproof. Three things I want you to see concerning this manner of judgment described in verse number 6. First of all, our Lord says that we should esteem the things of God as precious. I'll give you two reasons why the things of God are precious to us. First of all, He says, the things of God are holy. He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs. What are holy things? The things of God are holy things. They are sanctified things. That which is holy is set apart and devoted to a special purpose. Such was the bread in the tabernacle, was it not? It was called holy bread. That holy bread was sanctified and set apart for a special purpose, put in a special place. It could be eaten only by special people, a holy people devoted to the service of the tabernacle. The gospel is called the children's bread in Matthew 15:26, and the Lord says, do not give it to the little dogs. Matthew 15:26. The things of God not only are holy, but these are our pearls. Indeed, these are the only riches we have. Silver and gold I have none. I have something more precious, the gospel of Jesus Christ by which men are made to rise up and walk. This world puts its value in its rubies and its diamonds and its pearls. The wisdom of God in the book of Proverbs is said to be far beyond that kind of value. These things of God are holy things. They are separated. They are devoted to the people of God. And these are the only riches we have in this world. These are our pearls. Having esteemed the things of God as precious, we are second told to discern what sorts of people are incorrigible. Those people that are beyond reproof. Here we're told that some of them are said to be dogs. Dogs were unclean animals under the law. And I realize that we're not under the law. We have different standards. I have a dog that sleeps in my bed when he can get away with it. Would eat my plate if I would let him. We treat our dogs differently than they were treated under the law. Thankfully, we're not under the law. But dogs are unclean animals. They were unclean animals because of two reasons. Number one, they did not have a cloven hoof. A clean animal must have a cloven hoof. Second, a clean animal must chew the cud. Dogs do neither. They neither chew the cud, nor do they have cloven hooves. And furthermore, dogs eat dead carcasses, do they not? And carrion. They rather delight in it. The Lord says some people are dogs. Human dogs are those who never ruminate upon spiritual things. Hopefully we, children of God, we ruminate upon these things. We eat these things. We hear the things of God. They are holy unto us. And then, perhaps later on today, we will bring back the things we've heard this morning and consider and meditate upon these things. Children of God, do that. When dogs eat something, it's done. When children of God eat the children's bread, they ruminate upon it later on during the day. They chew the cud. They consider these things all over again. Human dogs do not do that. Nor do they have a holy walk. They do not have cloven hooves. And these of whom the Lord here speaks in Matthew 7:6, they love dead doctrine. They love that which is dead. They delight in the teachings of their dead forefathers and not upon the living Christ. Furthermore, our Lord says these are said to be swine. Swine were unclean even though they had cloven hooves. But they did not chew the cud. A clean animal must do both. It must have the cloven hooves and it must chew the cud. Human swine are those who say, look at my cloven hooves. I'm holier than the rest of you. I have a holy walk. But they do not chew the cud. They do not ruminate upon the things of God. Furthermore, when these swine received the things of God, they trampled them under their feet and afterward turn on those who present the pearls to them. That swine, Herod, did that to John the Baptist. John the Baptist came preaching these holy things of God and showing the pearls. And Herod, that swine, whom the Lord also called the fox, but Herod, that swine, said, I have a holy walk. I'm king of the Jews. But he would not ruminate upon these holy things and trampled them under his feet and had the preacher beheaded. Both dogs and swine are said to be unreprovable. In 2 Peter 2:22, we read that it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Number three, having esteemed the things of God as precious and having discerned what sorts of people are incorrigible, we're told that we should withhold God's things from the incorrigible. We're told that we should judge the incorrigible to be unworthy of our reproof. Proverbs 9:7-9 says, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Correct a wise man, and he will love you. We're told furthermore that we should judge the incorrigible to be unworthy of our counsel. Luke 23, verses 6 through 9, we read that when Pilate asked Jesus many questions, Jesus said, "You're not worthy of an answer," and did not answer him a word. Third, we should judge the incorrigible to be unworthy of our gospel. In Acts 13, 42 through 46, we read that then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you Jews first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. We'll take our gospel away from you." Fourth, we should judge the incorrigibility to be unworthy of our doctrine. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, we read that if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Fifth, we should judge the incorrigibility to be unworthy of our fellowship. In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, we read, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." So our Lord here is saying that with regard to unbelievers and incorrigible unbelievers, they that are not incorrigible, we would preach the gospel and talk with them and try our best to bring them to Christ. But they that would be incorrigible, the Lord says, take the gospel away from them. Find those who love to hear it and let them have it. They will love these holy things. These pearls, they will count to be precious. But those to whom it is not precious, take it from them. Do not give it to them. Now, how can we illustrate this? Let me illustrate it in this manner, if I may, by means of an allegory. Because I am by profession a seeker and a merchant of pearls. I dive for pearls, I search for pearls, and having found pearls, I give them away. So some time ago, I found myself at the Sea of Romans. The Sea of Romans is divided into 16 sections. I found myself in the 8th section of the Sea of Romans. And there at the 8th section of the Sea of Romans, I swam out 28 yards and dove down looking for pearls. And there at Romans 8, 28, at the bottom of the sea, that I found this memorial plaque on the bottom of the sea that read, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Now, what in the world does that mean? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And as I considered that and wondered what did it mean, I decided to swim a little further underneath the water, and I did. And there, just beyond Romans 8:28, I found a most exquisite pearl. I brought the pearl back to the land, and I walked into the shop there along the seashore to find out what this pearl was. And the jeweler said, "This is the pearl of foreknowledge. It is for whom He did foreknow." Well, what does this pearl mean? And the jeweler says, "I can tell you my name is Hereticus, and I can tell you what this pearl means. This pearl means that before time began, God foresaw everything, and God foresaw everyone, and God foresaw everyone who would do things acceptable to Him. And God says, I will respond to what they do by doing good things to them. I will save them because they will do the right things in response to hearing me." And having said that, I heard another jeweler says, "Hogwash! Who are you?" He says his name is Theophilus, a lover of God. He also is a jeweler, has a booth right next to Hereticus. He says that is not what foreknowledge means at all. He says that this pearl of foreknowledge has to do with all of those things that work together for good to those who love God. "You did see the plaque, did he not?" he asked. "Yes, I did." Well, this pearl is saying to us that these who were called of God were foreknown of God. And that God's foreknowledge is joined with his determined purpose in Acts 2:23, that God's foreknowledge is not merely what he foresaw, but rather that God has chosen the people elect according to the foreknowledge of God in sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This peril of foreknowledge is not really what God foresaw, but what God did before the foundation of the world. He chose a people in Jesus Christ. He chose them in Christ to be holy and without blame. He chose them to have cloven hooves with a holy walk. He chose them to not only to be holy, but without blame. He chose them to be righteous. He decreed before the time began that he would have a people that would be separated from the world and devoted to himself, and they would stand before him in pure righteousness. They were foreknown of him. They would be his. Oh, I tell you what, this kind of pearl, this pearl of foreknowledge, I love this kind of pearl. Do you like this kind of pearl? You want my pearl? I give them away. Do you want it? Go ahead and take it. It's yours. All right? I'm going to go back and look for another pearl. So I do. I go back out into the Sea of Romans, division number 8. I go out 28 yards. I swim down. I dive down. I go to Romans 8:28. I go just a little further, and there I find another exquisite pearl. I bring my pearl back to the sea. Now, this time, I want to find out what this pearl is, but I'm not going to the shop of Hereticus. Hereticus is an expert on costume jewelry. He knows nothing about pearls and holy things. I go straight to Theophilus this time. I said, Theophilus, I found another pearl. And he looked at it and he says, oh, yes, that's the pearl of predestination. And he pulled out the registry of pearls, and in the registry of pearls it reads that whom God foreknew, he also predestined. That God not only foreknew a people in Christ, he foreordained them to be like Christ. And that these were predestined before time began to be God's adopted children, predestined unto adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Furthermore, this pearl of predestination, according to the registry of pearls, he who holds this pearl is said to be predestined to be conformed unto the image of God's own Son, meaning that God thinks so highly of his only begotten, natural, eternal Son, he says, every one of my adopted children will be just like him. Before time began, God predestined every one of his children to be just like his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what. I like this pearl. You like this one too? You want it? Here it is. It's yours. I give them away. But I'm going back to the sea. Having found two pearls, I'm going to go look for another one. And I go back out into Romans 8. 28 yards out, dive down looking for more pearls. And just beyond Romans 8:28, where I found the plaque, I found a third pearl. It's exquisite. I bring it back to the shore. I go to the shop of Theophilus. What's this pearl? He says, oh, he says, you have found the pearl of calling. And this registry of pearls declares that the holder of this pearl is promised by God that whom he foreknew, he predestined, and these he also called. Because though God predestined them to great things, they in time will be in sin and shame. But this pearl declares that everything that God foreknew and predestined before time began shall be brought to pass in time. God says, as I thought, so shall it be. I thought about the good things that would happen, and so shall it be, and I will call them out of sin and shame. This pearl declares that they were called out of darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ, called to be saints, called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. This pearl declares that though they reject the outward call of God's preachers, yet God will take that outward call and through the inward working of His Holy Spirit, bring them to Christ so that they shall receive all the blessings that God has foreordained and predestined for them. This pearl declares, according to the registry of pearls, that these who possess this pearl are the called according to God's purpose. Therefore, they will love God, and therefore all things will work together for their good. And I'll tell you what, I love this pearl, but I find them to give them away. Do you want this one too? You can have it. Here it is, all right? Because I'm going back to the sea to find another one. And I do. Back out to the sea, Romans 8th division of the sea, go out 28 yards, dove down for pearls, and I found a fourth pearl, just as exquisite as the other three. And I bring it back to the shore, and I go to the shop of Theophilus, the jeweler, and I say, Theophilus, what's this pearl? Oh, he says, you have found the pearl of justification. What's the value of this pearl? He consults the registry of pearls, and the registry of pearls says that whom God did call, he also justified. What is to be justified? The registry of pearls says it means to be declared righteous by the virtues and the merits and the blood of Jesus Christ. This pearl declares that when God calls His foreknown predestined people, when God calls them out of sin and shame into the glorious life, they come under condemnation. That's how He finds them. But this pearl declares that when God looks upon them, all He sees is the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, so that when God beholds them, the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, they are as righteous as God's own Son. Oh, I love this kind of pearl. But I find them to give them away. Do you want this one? Here it is. You can have it too. But I'm going back to the sea. So back to the sea I go. In the 8th division of the Sea of Romans, 28 yards out, dove down, found the marker, went a little beyond, and then I found a fifth pearl, just as exquisite as the other four. And I bring it back to the land. I go to the shop of Theophilus. I said, what's this pearl? Ah, he says, you have found the pearl of glorification. What's the value of this pearl? This pearl belongs to him who has been justified. Because whom God foreknew, he also makes sure he gets the pearl of predestination. Whom God predestined, he also gets the pearl of calling. Whom God called, he also justified. He who has the pearl of justification is said to be already glorified. Already glorified. If I'm justified, I already am glorified. When was I glorified? Before time began. Before the foundation of the world. When God in His decree predestined that I would be justified, I was justified by an eternal righteousness and by an eternal justification. And though I have not yet enjoyed my glorification by experience, it is so certain of being done that God said before time began, consider it already done. What is to be glorified? God says, one of these days, you're going to be just like my Son. I don't know what that means right now. I know the wickedness and the evil in my heart. I know how much I despise who and what I am right now. Though God considers me justified, I know the wickedness in my heart. But God says, you are an heir of God, you are a joint heir with Christ, and you shall be glorified together with Christ. God says, one day you will stand before me glorified just like my Son, Jesus Christ. I'll be just like Him. One of these days in my flesh, I shall be just like Him. Oh, I value this pearl, but I find them to give them away. Do you want this one too? Here it is. All right. I love people that love my pearls. All right. I've had a busy day, folks. Diving all day long and finding pearls, but the sun is setting in the west. I'm going to go back one more time. One more time. So I dive into the Sea of Romans 8, swim 28 yards out. Dove down looking for pearls. I found my memorial plaque that promised that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I think I'm beginning to understand something about that now. But I swam a little further. Guess what I found? It was beyond my wildest expectation. Those five pearls I just gave to Him, I found a whole treasure trove of the same five pearls. Abundance of them. I filled every net I could, every bag I could. I brought them back to the shore, and I put them all in the little bags. I've got little bags with my pearls in it. Would you like to have my pearls? Here, take my pearls. You want my pearls? I'm going to cast a pearl to you. You're a little too far to hand, all right? Who wants my pearls? You want my pearls? Here they are, all right? Back there, anybody want my pearls? Raise your hand. Here they come, all right? I love it when people love my pearls. I love it when my brethren love my pearls. You know what I'm going to do? Being so encouraged by you good folk in this building, loving my pearls, I'm going to go down the street and find every other church I can and give them my pearls. Because I'm sure that if you folk love them, they profess Christ like you do, they'll love my pearls too. So off I go. Down there to another church of professing believers. And I tell them, listen folks, I've been diving for pearls. You won't believe what I found. I have found some exquisite pearls. The pearls of foreknowledge and predestination and calling and justification and glorification. The blessings that God has for His children. Would you like them a pearls? Fellow in the front row says, yeah, let me see those pearls. And I hand him my pearls. He sniffs at them. And that dog bit my hand. That dog bit my hand. Someone in the back said, what's the commotion? This dog bit my hand when I put my holy things in front of him. What kind of holy things? I passed some pearls back to him. And that swine back there trampled my pearls under his feet, turned on me, began to rend me in pieces. I barely escaped with my life. Why, Lord? Why is it that I came into this church building here at West Harpeth and they loved my pearls, they loved my holy things? I went down the street to another church of professing believers. They claimed to be your children. The dogs there bit my hands and the swine trampled your pearls under the feet. And the Lord said, I told you, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you in pieces. Well, listen, folks. I'm still diving for pearls. And as long as I can find people that wants them, I'll give them out freely. When I find somebody that doesn't want these holy things of God, I'll keep them, keep the children's bread away from the little dogs and the swine that do not love them. But I would hope that in all the Lord's churches, we would consider the things of God to be holy, to be esteemed, to be highly regarded. May our ministers be kept very busy by us, satisfying our desires for these pearls, these holy things of God. And may His ministers devote their lives to seeing that all the desires of the Lord's sheep are met, that they receive in abundance these pearls and these holy things of God. And our Father, to the glory of Your name and to the honor of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we give You praise and glory that indeed all things work together for good to those who love You, to those who are the called according to Your purpose. We thank You, our Father, that in Your purpose You foreknew us in Christ. You foreordained or predestined us to be like Christ. You called us unto Christ. You justified us through Christ, and one day You'll glorify us. Though in Your decree it already has occurred, yet one day we shall experience what it is to be just like You. May we esteem these things as holy and as pearls with great delight, and give us some discernment as to whom we should share them with. To Your glory, our Father, in Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen.